Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q2 2020 Bolsa Mexicana de Valores S.A.B. de C.V. earnings conference call. At this time, all participant lines are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Ramón Güemez. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores second quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risks and uncertainties and assumptions. Many factors could cause current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded and a replay of this call will be available online on July 16th at Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, all figures are in Mexican pesos and compared to the second quarter of 2019, unless stated otherwise. This call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. Joining us for today's call are José Real Bosch, our CEO, José Manuel Allende, SVP Issuers and Information, Roberto González, SVP Central Securities Depository, Claudio Vivian, our new Chief Information Officer, Gabriel Rodriguez, FICAP CEO, Alfredo Guillén, Chief Operating Officer, José Miguel de Dios, Mexter CEO, Rosa Crespo, Director of Human Resources, Luis René Ramón, Director of Investor Relations, and myself, Ramón Güemes. I would now like to turn the call over to Oriol Bosch, our CEO.
Thank you, Ramón, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining for the second quarter 2020 earnings conference call. And as we did last quarter, we will be using a presentation to make our report more friendly. So if you can go, please, to slide three. And first of all, I would like to give you an update about the about BMV's response to COVID-19 pandemic. We continue executing our BCP protocol. Have taken further steps to make sure that none of our stakeholders are left behind in these times of uncertainty. And as an example, BMV gave employees up to 3 months' salary advance, for SMEs, we are offering flexible payment options, among other things. So, and additionally, we have enhanced our collaboration with all of our issuers, clients, and through technology platforms. We continue to strengthen financial awareness in Mexico. We have proven BMV's operational resiliency, keeping our full range of trading, market development, and client support services running 100% with the same level of service and commitment we had before. And despite 95% of our employees are working remotely and will continue until we think that that the situation improves. And our focus is particularly on risk management, cash flow generation, and cost control in order to continue building a stronger Mexican exchange. If you go please to next slide number four. We'll start with the financial highlights. The revenue for the second quarter 2020 was 1 billion pesos. That's up 13% compared to the second quarter of 2019, basically due to higher activity in trading businesses, services related to the global market, the SIC, and information services. On the expense side, expenses were 436 million pesos. That's a 3% increase as a result of dollar-denominated concepts, mainly in technology and subcustody, as well as some legal fees. On the operating income and net income increased 23% and 10%, respectively. And the EBITDA was registered at 600 million pesos, up 21%, and with an EBITDA margin of 61%. Worth mentioning that in the second quarter of 2020, we registered a historic record high in revenue, historic record high in EBITDA, and historic record high in EBITDA margin. If we go to the next slide, we'll see the financial highlights for the first half of the year, for the first two quarters combined. So for the first semester, their revenue was 2 billion pesos. It increased 16% compared to the first 6 months of 2019 due to local and global market volatility, a strong demand for global market services and analytics. On the expense side, expenses were 875 million pesos, up 6% compared to the first half of 2019. Also as a result of dollar-denominated concepts, mainly technology and subcustody. Both operating income and net income increased 25%, and EBITDA reached 1.2 billion pesos. That's up 23% with an EBITDA margin of 61%. If we go to next slide six, that's the revenue by business line. The total revenue, as mentioned before, was up 16% in the first half of 2020. And if you look at the different business lines, and on the equity trading and clearing, the increase was 13%, derivatives trading and clearing 16%, OTC trading 33%, Central Securities Depository in the vault 26%, and information services increased 3%. On the next slide, on slide number seven, the operating expenses were up 6% compared to the first half of 2019. The main topics were personal was up 12 million as a result of variable compensation in CFICAP and annual salary increase. Technology was up 16 million, explained by software of projects, increment of central bandwidth and purchase of data for the global market or SIC related services. Depreciation increased 7 million due to the acquisition of hardware, mainly for the storage area network, the SAN, and Asignas Risk Platform, as well as the amortization of finished projects. Consulting fees were up 6 million, mainly for legal fees, support for new projects, and improvements to VMP website. Subcustody increased 4 million pesos due to dollar-denominated expenses and a larger number of assets under custody abroad. And on the others, that was up 2 million, explained by the option to purchase the remaining shares of CFICAP. On the next slide, on slide number eight, on the equity trading and clearing side, cash equity trading revenue was 16% higher than the second quarter of 2019, explained by higher volatility in both local and international equity markets. The average daily traded value, the ADTV, for the second quarter of 2020 was 16.5 billion pesos. That's up 29%. If we look at the breakdown, the domestic market increased 5% and represented 48% of total ADTV. And the global market increased 62% and amounted to 52% of total ADTV. It is important to remember that VNV's trading tariffs were modified on November 1st, 2019, hence the difference between the revenue and the ADTV growth. And CCB revenues were up 14% as a result of greater volatility in both local and international equity markets. On next slide, on slide number 9, we can see basically the operational highlights. The ADTV in March is mainly explained by the uncertainty and volatility in the local and global financial markets due to the COVID-19 pandemic. In the month of March, most of the equities in the world reached new lows. It was the case of the Mexican Bolsa Index that was at the end of March below 33,000 points. And on next slide, on slide number 10, on the derivative side, the revenue in Mexter and Asigna was up 11% and 13% respectively. The higher volume in swaps in 28 swaps that was 85% up with a notional value of 204 billion pesos. In dollar futures, rollovers reported high trading levels in March, 450, and in June, $500 million daily average. The average margin deposits were 41.4 billion pesos, that's up 27%. And VNV continues working with the financial regulators to list new products as electricity and overnight TF futures. On the next slide, on slide number 11, on the OTC side for Mexico and Chile, CIFICAP revenue was up 23 million pesos or 16%. CIFICAP Mexico decreased 2 million or 3%, but CIFICAP Chile was up 25 million pesos or 29%. CIFICAP Chile registered higher revenue due to volatility in financial markets and also tax benefits from operations with foreign counterparties where the company was subject to a 19% value-added tax. The revenue from tax benefits amounted to 14 million pesos. On a different note, CIFICAP Chile in the second quarter of 2020 paid a dividend that generated an additional tax of approximately 20 million pesos. On the next slide regarding the capital formation, the capital formation or listing and maintenance dropped 9 million pesos or 6% decrease. Listing revenues was down 4 million pesos, explained by lower number of listings and lower amount placed in the short and long-term debt markets. On a positive note, in April 21st, Ideal issued a new Fibra E on infrastructure for almost 26 billion pesos. Maintenance fees were down 5 million pesos due to early debt amortizations, as well as the discount plan for government securities and warrants. On the next slide regarding our CRD, Indeval, Indeval's revenue was up 25% compared to the second quarter of 2020, and its growth is mainly explained by the services related to the global market, SIC, and average value of assets under custody. Regarding the direct custody project, we are delayed against set milestones due to the COVID-19, Nonetheless, we continue building relationships with global custodians in order to start operations in the second half of 2020. And the average value of the assets under custody was up 1% and 15% in the local and global market, respectively. On the next page, on the regarding information services, the revenues was up 11 million pesos or 8% compared to the second quarter of 2019. Market data in second quarter 2019, we had some non-recurring revenue for 8 million pesos. So excluding this concept, the revenue was up 19% as a result of sales mostly in dollars with new and existing customers. Balmer was up 6% because of sales with existing clients and new valuation services, such as risk scenarios for target-dated funds and credit debit value adjustments. On the lead side, we started operations and are currently doing trials with new and potential clients. And on the next slide, on slide 15, regarding the strategy, our strategy continues in delivering a strong result despite challenging environments, as it is the case. As you know, VNV has a well-diversified business model. All in all, strong results in trading businesses, the Central Securities Depository, and information services. CIFICA paid a dividend that increased VNV's second quarter 2020 tax rate to 32.6%. Without the effect of the special tax on the dividend, the tax rate would have been 29.2%. And we'll continue with the execution of our strategy, further development of post-trade and market data businesses, strengthening legacy businesses by building new added value services, working closer with clients and regulators, and the analysis and development of VNV's technological transformation strategy. On the next slide, as you know, the guidance that we provide on an annual basis on is on EBITDA margin and net income. The EBITDA margin, the guidance was 58-61. As of today, we are our margin is at 61% on the upper side of the range. On the net income, our guidance was 1.4 to 1.6 billion pesos. We're also in line. As of today, we have 822 million pesos. And finally, as a summary, as mentioned, we continued execution of a strategy. We had positive results due to the local and global market volatility and a strong demand for global market for the SIC services and analytics. Additionally, we are evaluating a provider for VNV's technological transformation. On the strong financial results, as you saw, there was a good progress in delivering 2020 guidance, but monitoring very closely the economic impact of the COVID-19, focus on risk management, cash flow, and cost control as we manage through challenging times. We have a well-diversified and positioned to drive further growth, solid revenues across all businesses and multiple growth opportunities. However, it is taking us longer than we might have expected to start operations of a new project due to COVID-19. And that's all the presentation. So with that, I think that we'll go to the Q&A in case you have any comment or question. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, Jose Oriol, Ramon, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to take questions. Three questions from my side. The first one is on competition. We noticed that the competition reduced its market share to 8% when compared to double digits last quarter. So after this, would you readjust your metrics to be more profitable, or do you expect to continue with the same strategy so that competition remains with the same market share? And then on my second question, do you still see room to improve the EBITDA margin in the medium term, or do you consider that it has already reached its sustainable level? And finally, my last question, are you concerned about the low activity in the medium and long-term debt placements? What would be the strategy to improve this trend? And maybe related to this, what happens if Mexico loses investment grade? What would be the implications for your business? Thank you.
Thank you, Ernesto. I would ask Oriol to answer your question on competition. Then I will go on to the EBITDA margin, and I would ask Jose Manuel Allende to comment on the debt listing activity.
Hi, Ernesto. Thanks a lot for attending and for your question. On the competition side, well, first, I agree. I think that they have had some lower market share in the second quarter. But if we look at the numbers as of actually since they started operations on July 25th, 2018. To today, the number is like 91.9%, and if we look at the number year to date for the first 6 months of the year, I think that is 87, 88, 12, 13, something like that. So it's not too different, and this was our expectation, and not just based on our guess, but when Viva, actually, even before Viva started operations, we hired an expert on this issue and prepared an analysis that we shared, and we can still share if you do not have it with you, AirDesk. And they were saying that based on similar situations in other countries, the market, the potential market share was not going to be higher than 10%. So I think that it's in line with it was expected. But having said that, I think that important for both, for Bolsa and Viva, would be not to fight market share, as we have been saying. The important by having two exchanges, as we do have today in Mexico, would be to have a bigger market. So I think that we both should be working not just the exchanges. Actually, we need to work with the casas, the bolsa, with the broker dealers, with the financial institutions, with the authority regulators. And what we need to do is we need to grow the size of the market. And I think that I hope that both exchanges agree on that. We definitely believe that there is a lot of potential in the market, that we can continue to grow in number of participants. As mentioned many times, the number of individuals participating in the exchange in Mexico is still very low. In terms of number of companies, in terms of trading activity. So this is the bad and good news. I think that we have a lot of potential. We are going to be focused much more on growing that than on the market share, but definitely we do feel comfortable with those numbers. I hope that I answered your question. So,
yes,
Ramon,
thank you very much.
Thanks to you, Ernesto.
Ernesto, with regards to EBITDA margin, we do not have an EBITDA target to reach or to maintain. but I can tell you that we will continue to have a tight control on costs and strive for further productivity. So where if the margin increases, fine, all the better. But our efforts will be on controlling costs and increasing productivity as we go along. And José Manuel, if you would like to comment on the activity on the debt listings, please.
Good morning, Ernesto, and everyone. Regarding listing activity, it has been a tough year. As mentioned in the year, we have one FIBAE, a couple of Cicales, and nothing else on the equity market. We don't see on the short term nothing on the equity side. Perhaps we may have a couple of potential placements of FIBRA or FIBRAE on the real estate or infrastructure, but not so positive. Regarding the question of the debt market, which makes the most of the Mexican market activity, as mentioned, short-term placements are on year-to-date 20% down on amount, and the long-term 40% down. Let me break that a little bit. Regarding the short-term placements, I would say that weekly renewals are improving, especially in late June. If we take the average placements in January to March, that was 17 billion pesos. In April, we plunged to 7 billion. And in June, we are back over 13 billion pesos on the way back to the year average, driven basically by car makers, consumption, and financial companies. Important data is on the short term is also that since the last week of March, the renewals were less than the amount due weekly. And that has changed in June, when we finally placed more money than the amount that was due on the week. So we are recovering. And on the worst time, that percentage came down to 25% of the amount that was due and was renewed. And now we're moving close to 90%. So this market on the short term is coming back. On the long term debt, it's a little bit slower, but we're starting to see placements in June. Basically, and it usually happens that way in past crises, banks are the ones that lead the way back into the market. We have three banks in June and one corporation. But the important thing is a number of big corporations have filed for new programs, some of them still confidential. And it seems they will be going out to market in the next weeks or month if market conditions are improved. So it's also gradually recovering. Regarding the downgrade, the downgrade of on Mexico rating and by definition maybe on some corporations obviously would affect. It will be affected the spread for the government corporations and will make price discovery for IPOs a little bit difficult. That kindly happened at the beginning of April with volatility took the spreads and pricing to spreads of what will have happened if the rating would be affected. Fortunately, that has come back. That will impact. But I think that maybe the worst for companies now is if the lockout will continue for so much time. If commercial activity stops, company will slow sales, will fire people, or will not invest, and in the end, they will not demand financing on the exchange, so that will be the main issue that I see now. So, if so, and if no issuances are placed And if companies decide to prepay or mature the actual placement they have, that could be an impact for the maintenance fee income and business on next year. So I think the key numbers to monitor is the number of issuances that we have on the exchange, the current ones plus the new issuances, less the matures that we may have from now to the end of the year. That's the key number to monitor. I can share the data that we have with all of you. I will send it to Luis Ramon so he can share that with you. I hope I answered.
And just regarding the investment grade, Ernesto, and this could be your scenario. I would like to clarify this is not our scenario. We are not expecting Mexico to lose the investment grade. We think that we could maintain it. And having said that, I don't think that we will see a big change in our market. Maybe the main impact will be on the Mexican companies that are already financing by issuing debt in the external market, something like that. But financing for countries with investment grade is not higher than countries without investment grade. We can compare now Brazil and Mexico, and I think that it has much more to do with economic growth, with certainty, uncertainty, and if you have uncertainty, then you are going to see companies or higher volatility, as we are seeing today, that companies are delaying, stopping all the project plans, expansion plans, et cetera. So, just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kai Prato from UBS. Your line is now open.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. So I have two questions on my side. The first is a follow-up regarding listings. We saw one IPO in Biva last month, so just want to get a sense, why do you think they decided to list in Biva, and if you have any perspective for new listings maybe next year in the active side. And the second one is related to Latin exchange data that was launched. If can you please provide more color about this initiative, and when do you expect this to start generating revenues for the company? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Caio. Oriol, would you please comment on the listing the other exchange?
Yeah, well, on this side, I do not have much to comment. I think that this would be a question for either for the company or for Viva, and I'm not very familiar with that. So I think that I cannot mention a lot. But what I can tell you is that regarding our pipeline, we still have a couple of companies that were looking for an IPO, but to be honest, I don't think that we are going to see that anytime soon. But maybe we are going to see some exceptions, as it was the case of Fibrae, Ideal Fibrae. And one of the main reasons is because of valuations. I think that one of the most active exchanges in the world in this first half of the year in terms of IPO, I think that the number one was Nasdaq. And it was the Nasdaq, and if you look at the Nasdaq index, is the best performer of the indices in the world, is on positive size, etc. If you look at Mexico, the Mexican index, and actually has been underperforming in the past days, but the year to date, we're still 16% down in terms of pesos. The index is below 37,000 points, and it was at 46,000 points at the beginning, or close to 46 at the beginning of the year, and three years ago was trading above 50,000 points, close to 52,000 points. So the point is that the valuations in Mexico are pretty low, and I think that this is disincentive for profitable companies with a good outlook to come to the market. So I would like to see, and I think that there is a correlation. If you see higher valuations, then the number of IPOs is going to increase. On the contrary, with the low valuations that we have today, it's going to be difficult for good and profitable companies to come to the market.
And thank you, Oriol. And with respect to LATAM exchange data, we have begun operations. We had roughly a little less than 2 million pesos in revenues from the initiative this month. So we'll continue with our promotion efforts going forward. It's been slower than we expected, obviously, but we have begun generating some revenue.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks to you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Carlos Gomez from HSBC. Your line is now open.
Hello, good morning, and congratulations on the results once more. Two minor questions. You mentioned these two derivatives products in which you are still in discussions with the regulators. We would like to know what your prospects are for those discussions to succeed and what the revenue potential for them might be. And second, relative to the IPOs, we know that you have put a lot of effort in educating the corporates in Mexico, in making them understand that they would benefit from being in the market. Obviously, as you mentioned, evaluations don't help right now. But is it your perception that you have had some success, and that if and when valuations improve, we could see more companies coming? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. I don't know, Miguel or Oriol, who would like to comment on the derivatives products. Oriol, if you would like to follow up on the IPO question.
Yes, Carlos, thank you. Well, for the overnight future, we expected that maybe we are closer to list this product. I think that maybe in a couple months we can list this product. No, it's a completely new product, so we don't know how are going to be the trading in this product. No, so we don't know exactly what we expect, no, for this product. And the other one, the electricity future, we think that we are going to work more with the authorities because it's a completely new product, no, and we don't have any trading in electricity futures in Mexico. So we expected that we are going to list this product in the last quarter of the year. So we don't expect a lot of income in these two products in this year, no?
In London?
And in the long term?
Sorry, in long term?
Yes. I just wanted to get a sense.
Yeah. In the long term, we expected that maybe we can have for the next year, maybe we can have a five million pesos in each contract. No.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Guilherme.
Sorry, there was also a follow-up question Thank you, Carlos. And yes, absolutely. I think that, and we have mentioned that a couple of times, but I think that the in one word, the main by rear, the main challenge that we have in the exchange, one two words, is a lack of education, is or a poor education that we have on the financial side. And we have been doing, and we will continue definitely to do a big effort on that, on both sides, on the investor as well as on the issuer side. With we have been working with the businessmen in Mexico on education, and it's a big challenge in a couple of things. One of them is on the corporate governance, but we feel very comfortable. And education is something that we have to do, we'll continue to do, and we are not going to see the results immediately. So definitely we continue to prepare this this base as and at some point I think that we'll have a better scenario with better valuations and a more attractive environment to bring these new companies to the market. So this is something that we are not going to take any break. We are not going to rest, and we are going to continue to push on the education side, working with associations, with even with authorities and all the market participants, and this is a challenge not just on the exchange. I would say that it's a challenge also on the banking side in Mexico, and we have to work all together with that. And thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Guilherme Grespan from J.P. Morgan. Your line is now open.
Good morning, Oriol, Ramon. Thanks for opening for questions. I have two on my side. The first one is regarding Indeval performance. It was pretty strong again. And what I'm trying to figure out here is when you look at the volume size, the local market was up 1%, global market 15%. But when you look at revenues, 25%, so your take rates or monthly fee, whatever the way you want to put it, has been expanding a lot. And I just want to grasp a little bit if there is, just to remind us, if there is any impact on mix here, or if the global market services has any component in dollar in the charging. The idea is to understand if this 300, 220 per quarter is sustainable going forward. And my second question is very quickly, Navidad, in reality, is just to remind us what is the long position you have on the balance sheet that drove the dollar loss. If I'm not mistaken, the last time you mentioned $16 million, but just want to confirm if the number is still this. Thank you.
Thank you. Roberto, would you comment on the Indeval performance, please?
Sure. Good morning. Well, maybe for the next quarter, we'll include a little bit more color, more detail on the information. But the portfolio in total, the local market only grew 1%. I think we need to provide a bigger breakdown. We've seen that the government bonds have continuously increasing the total custody, and the operation has increased substantially. So this last quarter, government bonds trading volume and value grew more than 12% related to last year for the entire semester. So it's been a very active and very good month regarding government bonds. The big impact that we have is on the custody on the shares listed on the stock exchange. That is 1 billion in pesos below how it ended the year 2019. So while it's recovering, we're still 1 billion below. And that the custody of that side has been somehow helped by government bonds, corporate bonds, and bank bonds. So that's why maybe when you see the 1% doesn't provide you a lot of information. On the other side, the driver for the SIC has been the activity. So what we've seen is much more trading on foreign securities, entire recomposition of the portfolio of the clients. So we saw a lot of securities being sold out and buying completely and others, and also a lot of arbitrage because of the volatility in the peso dollar. So maybe, and on this piece, we charge something more associated to how the ADR business is charged. So there are cents associated to the conversion of the stock when you buy outside Mexico, so you buy outside or deliver outside. That's why the driver is a little bit different. So it's very related to trading more than custody, but also custody recovered substantially, and now we are not at the peak, but reaching a very high level. And right now, if you compare just the local securities versus the SIC security, the portfolio is about 8% of the total value of the local security. So it's becoming more relevant also on custody. So maybe we can provide with more information so you can have a better understanding and see what is expected. Is this sustainable? It's more, that piece is more related to the trading. And so as long as we continue seeing volatility and portfolio composition, we will see more activity. But certainly this semester has been very, very active and unusually high compared to other years. I don't know if that was clear enough.
Super clear. And the U.S. long position?
Yes, our U.S. long position is about 26 million. It's a little over 26 million right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Inigo Fernandez from Santander. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. My question is regarding the transformation plan. Do you have any idea now what are the areas you're looking to improve in the company? And how do you expect expenses to behave in the medium term? Thank you.
I'm sorry, Nico, could you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, sure. The question is regarding the technological transformation plan. Do you have any idea what are the areas you're looking to improve, and how could we expect expenses to behave in the next couple of quarters or maybe years?
Expenses, I assume you mean from the technological renovation plan or expenses overall?
From the technology side.
Okay. I don't know, Oriol, if you want to comment or do you want to let Claudio or...
Yeah, I can comment on that and Claudio can complement. But regarding the technological transformation, we're still in this process. I would say that this is one of the activities that were impacted by the pandemic. There were some trips that were delayed and we have been working on that, but remotely, so a bit slowly. My plan was to go with probably final or close to final and detailed proposal on that to the board yesterday, and it was moved because of that. It was delayed and moved to the next quarter meeting, but it's something that we're working on that. I would say that a lot every day and pretty actively. I don't know, Claudio, if you want to mention something on that.
Yeah, thank you, Oriol. Well, as Oriol mentioned, we are right in the planning and evaluation of the different platforms. We will be looking for as an opportunity to improve our platform. I would say that it's pretty premature to assume how the expenses will change during the following year, as we are right in the planning and deciding which is the best way to move forward in terms of the platform. But this will be fixed in the coming months as we present to the board the new technology plan for the coming 5 years. So it's pretty premature in terms of talking about how the expenses will move, as we need to evaluate and make decisions before establishing the budgets for the coming years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. I would like to turn the call back over to Jose Oriol Bosch for closing remarks.
Thank you. Well, if there is no more questions, thanks a lot to all of you for participating. Thanks again one more quarter to participate in this conference call. And all the best to you and take care. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.